Good morning. That was, you know, that was so good the whole morning that I feel a bit redundant. I don't think I am, but I thought, wow, how do you top that? You know, where you go into the presence of the Lord and people have their hands raised and there's tears and they're praising God, and then we're given a challenge to, you know, to think outside of ourselves, think of other people that desperately need love and care. And it's just good, isn't it? Just to have that kind of a focus. And then here this morning, I hope that I give something that is life-related, that I will be able to scratch you where you itch. That would be a very good thing, that we say, you know, not only did we have music and worship and a challenge about Latvia, but also the word of the Lord was really powerful this morning. So I want to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. And it reads like this, verse 51. And when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him and went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples came and John saw it, James and John saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell the fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, no, leave the dead to bury their dead, their own dead. But yes, for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my house, at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What an interesting passage. I made a little note to myself, and this is what I wrote. I said, it seems that when leaders get together, they often have a purpose. And that purpose of that fellowship is to encourage one another, and number two, to keep our eyes on the goal of finishing strong. Keep our eyes on the goal of finishing strong. In each of the Gospels, there is a dramatic moment of described in which it is clear that Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. And so we see where the first part that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And then he says it again. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. It was obviously he knew what Jerusalem would be. There would be a cross and there would be a death, his death. And he knew he was fulfilling it, that the kingdom of God might be, of course, declared. And so he resolutely set out from Jerusalem. That's his goal. Everything was focused on the goal. And so Jesus turns his complete attention towards this one thing. His death on a cross was what he was focused on. Right from the very beginning, no matter what happened, wherever he went, nor whom he met along the way, his eyes were on the cross. That tells us something. I wrote here, with this in mind, the rest of this remarkable text makes a great deal of sense, and without it, it doesn't make any sense at all. The rejection of the Samaritan village, for example, was a minor distraction to Jesus. And no wonder he brushed off the anger of his two closest friends, James and John. Their anger didn't merit Jesus' attention in light of his clear focus on Jerusalem. The teachings in Luke chapter 9, 57 to verse 62, become as crystal clear in the light of this focus. And verse 62 summarizes the point of the text. And what is that? No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. That's the whole point of this text. Nothing, not even the burial of loved ones, ought to get in the way of the final goal of the kingdom of God. And Jesus spoke of himself, of course, but he also spoke to us. And I can remember maybe a couple of months ago it was, I was in conversation with a fellow pastor, and we were talking about yet another pastor who had gotten himself into some struggles, and we were concerned about him, whereas what would happen to him. He had, as they say, fallen into sin. And our conversation, as this story was told, for him, and there was prayer for him at that moment, we talked about eternity, the focus on eternity, that we have to guard ourselves because we're not just living for today. We're living for the next day and the next day and the next day. We're living for eternity. We want to finish strong. We want to keep our eyes on the prize, to stay strong in the Lord, knowing that we don't have to be statistics if we keep our eyes focused on Christ. I was thinking of the very essence of sin, because if that's not clear in our mind, what will I do to keep from falling? What will I do to keep on track? What are some of those things? And I made this note, is that we all know this, that sin is a short-term solution to a long-term problem. I'll give that again. Sin is a short-term solution to a long-term problem. In other words, we desire to feel good, that moment of feeling good. We desire to solve an immediate difficulty without going through the process, without changing something in our hearts, without considering the future. Like a sailor lost at sea, we only see the next wave. We don't often see the shoreline. We don't see the horizon. So we act in the immediate. And many people who fall, they will say, I remember reading a survey of 250 leaders who had had affairs. And they were writing about this. It warranted mentioned in a book even. And every one of them, they said, what were you thinking to yourself before you forfeited and destroyed your whole marriage and the church too? They said, every single person said the same thing. They said, we never thought it would happen to us. So in other words, they were running loose and free, just saying, well, I'm not like those weak people, those people there, they've got lots of problems, not like myself. And thus plunging down and just doing so much damage. So we act in the immediate without reference to the eternal. But we must remember that our Lord calls us to service, not just for today or even just for tomorrow. We are called to a lifetime of service. Is that clear in your minds? I want it to be clear in mine, that I'm not training for tomorrow, to just today. I'm training in my life for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that I can go the distance and bring many, many people along as well, who have gone and were straight as an arrow. We kept our, and for Jesus it was Jerusalem. For us it's Christ. Staying strong, focused on him, knowing that at any given moment you could destroy your ministry, yourself, and your whole life. And so the Lord calls us to this lifetime. An absolute lifetime is, so in the light of that, there are some things I cannot do and I will not do because I would have to compromise myself. I'm going for the distance. My eyes are on the prize. So that's not up for negotiation. You see, Jesus refused to be distracted by the immediate at the cost of the ultimate. And whether his present was defined by rejection by an entire village in Samaria, or the praise of would-be followers, his focus was on his calling. And I would speak to you this morning and to me this morning, your focus needs to be on your calling. God has called you. You are his. You belong to him. He's called you for a lifetime of ministry, to keep on serving and ministering and touching, because your focus is on the calling. That's more important than a job, more important than anything else, that there's a calling from God, and that's what drives me, and that's what ought to drive all of us here this morning. So we learn from Jesus that an appropriate response may be set aside when the call is at stake. The request to bury a father and simply say farewell to a loved one seems appropriate, doesn't it? You say, well, why was Jesus kind of hung up on that? That seems kind of appropriate. Even sensible. These are sensible requests. They're not crazy requests. They're just sensible requests. But they were rejected by Jesus. They were rejected by Jesus because they compromised commitment to the call. Everything is the call for you, for me. Not the church, the call. For your life, for my life. And so Jesus' single-minded, focused on the call, it helps me immensely, actually. Helps me quickly to put rejection as well as praise in its proper place. That we won't be caught up by the Samaritan rejection, and we won't be caught up by people praising and clapping and rejoicing. We won't let that deter us, because it's not necessary to the call. And so we ask a question, and this can guide us, and I trust will to guide us, is that what's at stake here? That's the question. What's at stake here? That determines everything. If a lifetime of ministry is at stake here, ministering, touching people, blessing people, encouraging people, if that's at stake, then everything else is pretty clear. There's too much at stake for me to go off in that direction. And that's why I said, why don't you go into this? I don't want to get into that. I have no desire to get into that. I don't care if everybody else in the whole city gets into that. I don't want to go that direction. In my mind, that's not the right direction to go. And so you have the standard of your call. How would this affect it? It would affect it. And this helps us work things through. In my mind, it does. It helps me work through. It's that there's some things I just can't be doing, and I won't be doing it. Why? Because what we have asked the question, what's at stake? And so it'd be very good to ask this question, is that I wonder what the disciples thought of Jesus' single-minded commitment. What did he think of it? I wonder how did the crowds view his intensity of purpose? I suspect that some admired Jesus' goal orientation, but I'm sure others turned away. They turned away because Jesus didn't respond the way that they wish he would. And I made another notation. But only in the light of the resurrection did this make sense. It didn't make sense at the time because he hadn't gone to the cross and hadn't risen again. And so keeping our eyes on the goal, that's what will preserve us. It's a faithful attempt to put today in the context of forever. There is territory to take. There are things that need to happen. And Lord willing, they will for all of our lives. But is there any goal worthy of our call other than to finish well? Finish well. Today, what you choose to... By the way, I applaud you and I encourage by you the fact that you're here at 9 o'clock at a service. Why? Because it's not everything, but it's something to keep fine-tuned, to keep in touch with the rest of the body of Christ, to encourage them to finish well. Because you will, even today, you probably will have an occasion to talk to somebody, say, how is it going? Say, oh, I'm pretty discouraged. And you'll have a chance to pray with them or to encourage them in some way. And they'll say, well, I think I'll be okay now. I can finish strong. I can keep my eyes on the prize because you encouraged me. I think there's some very powerful things happen in the break time. You know, just say, how did your week go? What have you been doing lately? How's your devotional life? And hopefully some of those answers will be answered well. But there's only one goal worthy. That's to finish well. Because I don't want to be by the side of the road, out of luck, out of gas, out of everything. Because I've met lots of people like that. That I am sure they intended. I don't think they got up in the morning and said, today I will wreck my life. Yeah, it seems like the kind of day. No, they didn't. I'm sure they never, but they never had any plan for having the goal clear. The goal must be forever clear. And if it isn't, you may be one of the casualties. I'd like, you know, I was going through some old diaries that I have. I've been keeping a diary since 1971, I think. And it's like a you know, you blow off, you could crackle it. It's getting so old, like it's getting yellow looking. But I saw some of these people that were that I had written down from baptism services and different things. And it was kind of sad. As far as I know, that one no longer serves the Lord. I don't know, they show up in church once in a while, but nothing serious. That one doesn't go. I don't know where that ever happened to that person. That one, I don't know. I don't know where these people are. I'll let you in on a secret. These were people from here. They didn't finish well. They said, well, I don't know. Well, I've run into a number, and they have little time for the church, little time for, I presume, spiritual things. And I'm not to judge that, but as a pastor, we inspect the fruit, and we wonder why. How is that? See, I don't think they meant, I think when they got baptized, there was something right and something serious about it and something good about it. I'm going to get baptized. And then, now that doesn't mean anything or very little because they said, church, not too much. And in some cases, a complete leaving of all the things spiritual. People that I've known for years and years and years are going nowhere by their own confession. They're going nowhere. They took their eyes off the prize. And by the grace of God, by the mercy of the Lord, may it not be us. It'll only be by His mercy, right? It's His keeping grace, His keeping power that we can stay today. And we'll stay strong tomorrow and the next day till finally there's not just a decade of service, but there's 10 decades. There's all kinds of decades of that we've and milestones. How's it going? You still serving the Lord? Yeah, still serving. Isn't that a good question? Are you still serving the Lord? That's a good question. Maybe we should leave on that note today. Are you still serving the Lord? Is He still precious to you? Have you got that burning in your heart? That the same as you came out of the tank, do you still have that? Is your heart still on fire for God? Or somehow your goal has been compromised? Your commitment has been compromised. That you're kind of on a shelf. You're still in the kingdom. We're not talking about that. You're still going to heaven. Not talking about that. I assume that's just a given. But what about the growth today? Because that will determine, because we're not living. We're only living for the things of God. We do everything else. I mean, we enjoy sports. We enjoy outings. We enjoy restaurants. I mean, that's just good stuff, but it's not what we're about, right? It's not what we're about. What we're about is the goal. Jesus set His face. Nothing would deter Him. Not Samaria, not the disciples. He was going to and they mention it. They talk about it. And so us too, we focus on the things of the Lord and trust the Lord to keep us from, and now unto Him who is able to keep us from falling. and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Wow. You see, keeping our eyes on the goal is our faithful attempt to put today in the context of forever. I thank God for people I've met over the years. They have stayed true and strong. They're heroes in a way to me. That they have. I wonder how many devotions they had, Marcel. What do you think those guys had? They must have had a 7,000 devotion period. Their Bible all mixed, you know, all written up and things like that. And I wonder how many services they went to, and I wonder how many people they must have encouraged over the years. And there's a fire in them. And they said, man, I'm glad I know those people. I know some of these people. That their tomorrow is going to be okay because they're looking after today. You only have to care about today. You're seeing it in the light of eternity, but in terms of bites, you just take one bite today. Get up, today I will serve the Lord. I will read his word because I want to read his word. I don't have to read his word. I want to read his word. I'm going to be a blessing. Lord, in your name, make me a blessing today. Today. And may what I do really matter for the future. Our attempt to put today in the context of forever. You see, I don't think there's any better goal than to finish well. I don't think there is. So the main thing that we're talking about here today, the main thing is making the main thing the main thing. That everything is the call of God on your life. It's not a general, it's a specific call. He is speaking to you this morning to revisit that again. To revisit that moment or that time or that direction that God gave you. And he says, I am calling you, you are mine. And I want you to serve me. And we say, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, we will serve you. So, what would our prayer look like? That's a good question, isn't it? What would our prayer look like? Maybe it would sound like this. Not so much look like, but sound like it. Lord, let me put this day with all its potential for praise or for all its potential for rejection, let me put it within the context of your call on my life. Let that be. Then I thought of the things to ponder. The things to ponder. You see, the fact that I'm older than I was when I started here. Thank you. Thank you, Barb. Good to have you back. That I'm older, there's no safeguard in that. I don't think it's a scripture unless it's from Hezekiah chapter 4, but it was that there's no fool like an old fool. In other words, age doesn't save you. I wish it would, but it doesn't. It doesn't save you at all. You have to do what you started, when you came out of that tank, whatever you were doing that was working, you got to do that again and again and again and again and again. And you keep on doing that. That alone is what saves us from going ricocheting into the netherland of unusefulness. So there are things to ponder. Number one, simple things. These are not difficult in any way. And by the way, they're all doable. So what you had to do when you were 17 or whenever you gave your heart to the Lord, or 34, when you did that and you said, I have decided to follow Jesus. What a great, you have to do it tomorrow. Isn't it funny? There's no advantage to me. You kind of think, after all these years, that I would be far down the road. And I wouldn't be worried about that because, after all, that was then when I was young. But now I'm older, and I can just gutter fly here, yeah, and end up on the side of the road, absolutely empty, and wondering what happened to me. What happened to his presence that moment when I gave my life to him? Lord, don't let me fail. The stakes are so high. And you say, well, some of these things I can see they're baby Christians. No, it's not usually the baby Christians that fall. It's the saints who have lots of years of experience. And so, number one of these things to ponder, keep focused on the call. And keep your eyes on the prize. See, I want Jesus. Because to me, this is what it is for Jesus for him to say, Owen, Marcel, Vonda, John, Kathy, for us to say, to stand there in his presence, and what does he say? Well done, my good and faithful servant. See, that's what we live for. That's everything to us. It's not just nice, it's everything. We're living for the sound of his voice, where he says, well done, you ran well. You kept the race, you ran the race. You did what I wanted you to do, and you did it with joy. See, and that's what he's going to say. But I don't want a life where it's more an embarrassment than it is anything. What happened? So keep your eyes, keep focused on the call. Number two, be very diligent about resisting the evil one. Never underestimate the effects of the fall. So just when you think that you've gained something, he will come when you least expect it. He's the roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour, and that is you, and that's me who he's looking for. He would love to destroy my ministry. He'd love to destroy my testimony. He'd love to destroy our marriage. And it's just because we do crazy things. People just do crazy things. Nothing is predictable in this. You can't really say, I wouldn't have believed it for him. Are you sure? Yeah, that's what happened. Who knew? How did it happen? They were at church. They were part of the Christian community. There was all the right stuff. And then the enemy came while they were sleeping. The enemy came and devoured them. That's what happened. So we resist him. We're conscious of him. That's why you look for the high risk area. Are you able to determine your high risk areas? We say that's a high risk. See, like I don't think I'm going to go over here and rob the bank with a loaded gun. I think I'm pretty safe on that one. That won't be my high risk area. We're here to only rob the bank. I don't think it will be. But I think there's some other things that would. That would be an area. I never have been able to graduate from that because it's ongoing. It's part of my predisposition. And I don't want that to be wrecked either. So resist the evil one. Be very much aware that the very fact you came to church, he didn't like that. And he will now try to neutralize you in some way to take the hue off the rose. And unless we're aware. So, Lord, I thank you, put on the armor of God. I put on the whole armor of God that I may, resist him. So that's the only answer to that. And as we do that, of course, he will give strength and guidance and protection. But don't take for granted that just because now you know about spiritual warfare, don't think you're not exempt from it. You are a target. A child of God who knows how to pray is a huge target. So number one, keep focused on the call. Number two, do all you can do to resist the evil one in the power of God's strength. Number three, to shrug off distractions. There are some things that distract, aren't they? You don't, and it's only later that you can see some of these things. But you shrug them off. Man, you know what one big one is? Just busyness. That's a huge distraction. You know where you come home, you were busy, you went all day, the day went, just a fast-paced day, and before you know it's bedtime, and the next day comes, and you don't realize busyness, somebody said busyness is not of the devil, busyness is the devil. Perhaps that's true. And so anything that, you know, for example, somebody will upset you and you'll just say, well, how the nerve of that person upsetting me like that and saying that about me? Where do they get off? And next thing, you've got a grudge against somebody who said something to you. And you realize that, hey, the enemy's working here. Here I am, I'm upset. I just came home from church. Now I'm upset at somebody already. What's going on here? Well, I know what's going on. And this can be as a distraction from the real thing. That's why even things that, Owen, would you like to be a part of this? And especially interchurch stuff, you'd be part of that. No, I don't think so. Why? Because it takes up too much time. It's a distraction, even if it's an interesting distraction. It's a distraction from where I feel I'm supposed to go. There'd be something on every week. There's things on every week, everywhere. In the whole Christian community. All kinds of stuff. And everybody wants you to be part of it. And you have to say, no, I can choose that, but I can't choose that, even though it's a good thing. It's a distraction as far as I'm concerned. And we watch out for distractions. Things that keep you off. Just, you know, you're doing all the right stuff. I think some people have probably gotten in trouble while they were involved, heavily involved in the church. I think it's just how it is. So shrug off distractions and the sin that so easily besets us. That's Hebrews. Isn't that great? That's a powerful verse. The sin that will do us in. We have to guard that and be careful. And then lastly, it's just an admonition. Is it finish strong? Not limping in with a whole life of sin, but bullet wounds maybe, sword marks on you from the battles. But that the body of Christ would say, you are running well. I want to ask you a question. Are you running well? Nothing actually is more important than this, next to knowing him. Are you running well? Are you finishing well? Are your eyes on the prize? Are you determined to put Christ first, even if others, groups, or anybody else that leads you aside say, I must get back to the calling. I know, because everybody here, you've got some sense of when that was. Right? I'm not talking about salvation. That's just a free gift to sinners who don't deserve anything. But the call is this personal thing that when you were a little girl or you were a little young boy, that even then God put his hand on you for ministry and for making a difference. So especially there'd be a difference years down the road. Years down the road. So today we focus in order to impact tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. It's pretty exciting stuff, actually. In many ways, it's very exciting. But because it involves us so much. But here we are. I hope you never have to weep tears of sadness about me. Where you say, oh, I'm so sorry that sin did you in. I don't want to be visiting you and find out that your life is completely wrecked. And say, man, what happened? You were one of our strongest workers. What made you do that? Why'd you make that decision? And so we find ourselves saying, oh God, even the decisions I make, may they be life-changing ones. It will be the power of the Lord on your life, the whole rest of the days of your life. How wonderful is that? Finish strong. Plan on it. Don't assume it. I think there's where we plan on it in order that the good stuff will happen. And so Jesus had understood that clearly in his point, his purpose. For him was Jerusalem. And it was disturbing to them that he wanted to go. He knew he had to go. That was where he was going. And for us, it's Jesus and the cross. That's very, very powerful. Well, I said what I was going to say. Now I want to pray. Heavenly Father, I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad for the work of Calvary's cross in my life and in the lives of my brothers and sisters here. I thank you, God, that there's a calling on everybody's life that's in this building. And I pray, Lord, that you would retouch them here today, that everybody walk out saying, I must guard my life. Father, I pray that you would speak clearly, that they would not miss this for anything. Lord, I pray that I won't be the guy that everybody's feeling sorry for, but that I might press on. So thank you, God. Touch every life that's here. And I pray, Lord, those that I'm thinking of that have really got themselves into pickles and distanced themselves from you, I thank you it's never too late for them to renew and revive. And I would pray for those Jonahs and those prodigals that you would bring them all home. That would be our prayer. That would be our heart's desire. Bring them all home. We'll thank you and praise you. And God, thank you for the journey. We journey together. We need each other to keep each other strong as well. So thank you. In your great name. Amen. God, who knows how to pray, is a huge target. So number one, keep focused on the call. Number two, do all you can do to resist the evil one in the power of God's strength. Number three, to shrug off distractions. There are some things that distract, aren't they? You don't. It's only later that you can see some of these things, but you shrug them off. Man, you know what one big one is? Just busyness. That's a huge distraction. You know where you come home, you were busy, you went all day, the day went, just a fast-paced day, and before you know it, it's bedtime, and next day comes, the next day comes, and you don't realize busyness. Somebody said busyness is not of the devil, busyness is the devil. Perhaps that's true. And so anything that, for example, somebody will upset you, and you'll just say, well, how the nerve of that person upsetting me like that and saying that about me? Where do they get off? And next thing, you've got a grudge against somebody who said something to you. And you realize that, hey, the enemy's working here. Here I am. I'm upset. I just came home from church. Now I'm upset at somebody already. What's going on here? Well, I know what's going on. And this can be as a distraction from the real thing. That's why even things that, Owen, would you like to be a part of this? And especially interchurch stuff. You'd be part of that. No, I don't think so. Why? Because it takes up too much time. It's a distraction, even if it's an interesting distraction. It's a distraction from where I feel I'm supposed to go. There'd be something on every week. There's things on every week, everywhere. In the whole Christian community. All kinds of stuff. And everybody wants you to be part of it. And you have to say, no, I can choose that, but I can't choose that, even though it's a good thing. It's a distraction as far as I'm concerned. And we watch out for distractions. Things that keep you off. Just, you're doing all the right stuff. I think some people have probably gotten in trouble while they were involved, heavily involved in the church. I think it's just how it is. So shrug off distractions and the sin that so easily besets us. That's Hebrews. Isn't that great? That's a powerful verse. The sin that will do us in. We have to guard that and be careful. And then lastly, it's just an admonition, is that finish strong. Not limping in with a whole life of sin, but bullet wounds maybe, sword marks on you, from the battles, but that the body of Christ would say, you are running well. I want to ask you a question. Are you running well? Nothing actually is more important than this. next to knowing him. Are you running well? Are you finishing well? Are your eyes on the prize? Are you determined to put Christ first, even if others, groups, or anybody else that leads you aside say, I got to have you, I must get back to the calling. I know, because everybody here, you've got some sense of when that was. Right? I'm not talking about salvation. That's just a free gift to sinners who don't deserve anything. But the call is this personal thing that when you were a little girl or you were a little young boy, that even then God put his hand on you for some for ministry and for making a difference. So especially there'd be a difference years down the road. Years down the road. So today we focus in order to impact tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. It's pretty exciting stuff, actually. In many ways, it's very exciting. But because it involves us so much. But here we are. I hope you never have to weep tears of sadness about me. Where you say, oh, I'm so sorry that sin did you in. I don't want to be visiting you and find out that your life is completely wrecked. And say, man, what happened? You were one of our strongest workers. What made you, what made you do that? Why'd you make that decision? And so we find ourselves saying, oh God, even the decisions I make, may they be life-changing ones. It will be the power of the Lord on your life, the whole rest of the days of your life. How wonderful is that? Finish strong. Plan on it. Don't assume it. I think there's where we plan on it in order that the good stuff will happen. And so Jesus had understood that clearly in his point, his purpose. For him was Jerusalem. And it was disturbing to them that he wanted to go. He knew he had to go. That was where he was going. And for us, it's Jesus and the cross. It's very, very powerful. Well, I said what I was going to say. Now I want to pray. Heavenly Father, I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad for the work of Calvary's cross in my life and in the lives of my brothers and sisters here. I thank you, God, that there's a calling on everybody's life that's in this building. And I pray, Lord, that you would retouch them here today, that everybody walk out saying, I must guard my life. Father, I pray that you would speak clearly, that they would not miss this for anything. Lord, I pray that I won't be the guy that everybody's feeling sorry for, but that I might press on. So thank you, God. Touch every life that's here. And I pray, Lord, those that I'm thinking of that have really got themselves into pickles and distanced themselves from you, I thank you. It's never too late for them to renew and revive. And I would pray for those Jonahs and those prodigals that you would bring them all home. That would be our prayer. That'd be our heart's desire. Bring them all home. We'll thank you and praise you. And God, thank you for the journey. We journey together. We need each other to keep each other strong as well. So thank you. In your great name.